because I show up and, you know, I did preparation this morning, I did preparation all week, and I come here having a certain idea in mind of where I'm headed. And the first conversation, one of the first conversations I have is with Charlie. We talk about what is a name. And he says, I prefer Charlie over Charles. So we have this short conversation about a name. And then I head to the breakfast table, and I'm sitting with a group of ladies, and we have this conversation about what is a name. And we start talking about what is a name, what's behind a name, what does a name mean? And I come in here, and Rob Karch just says, here, let me pray with you. And he starts praying, give Aaron joy this morning as he preaches. Give him joy as he proclaims your word. And then we read a scripture together, Psalm 145, a passage in which I'm preaching from this morning. I don't think you peeked at my manuscript, Josh, about blessing the name of the Lord. And we sing a song, that your name might be known in all the earth. And it's almost like God is coordinating something. It's almost like you're here, not on accident. It's almost like he's designing this group of people to be in this room together for a certain reason. What is that reason? The task that was given to me this morning bears the title, Inflame Our Hearts to Make Christ Known Globally. And when I sat down and I reflected on just this title, I thought, how fitting that the first words of the first mission conference is a plea for help. This is a prayer. This title is a prayer. It's an ask of God that God do something in us that we know we can't do ourselves. This heart is a small flicker of a flame. I want it burning. We want it burning hot and wide. It's an ask for God to stir in us, to add more fuel to the fire of our heart. And fuel not in the sense of gas, because gas, if you know, if you played with fire as a small kid, you pour gas on a fire, it burns hot, but it quickly dissipates. It burns out. And we don't want that kind of fuel. We want the fuel of a fire that burns and burns long, burns hard, burns hot, burns wide into the future. It is an ask of God, oh God, make us passionate about the things that you're passionate. Rather, God, make us passionate about the thing that you're passionate about. Now notice my emphasis is not on the portion that says to make Christ known globally. Certainly that is the consequence of the burning. But our prayer is not first make Christ known globally. Our prayer is inflame our hearts. So how is God going to do that? And what can we do to prepare for God to do that this morning with this group of people? How are we going to stir our affections? And how are we going to do that? We're going to look at Christ himself. And we're going to reflect specifically on Psalm 145, verse 21. And you can look there in your Bible. It's one verse that I'll be coming back to over and over again. Psalm 145, verse 21. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's go to God now and ask him for his help this morning. Father, there is one thing that we do know collectively is that we cannot start a fire. We cannot raise the dead. We cannot heal the sick. You are the God who works the impossible. You are the God who builds a kingdom from a mustard seed. You are the God who comes in the flesh, in the form of a baby, in a feeding trough, in the dead of night. You are the God who works impossible things. And our prayer this morning is to work the impossible, that where our hearts burn so low so often, that you would ignite this burning passion in this church body to make your name known, to sing and bless your name, so that all of creation sings in one song, a song of blessing and praise of your holy name. And we are asking that you do that here and now with us in our hearts, a passion for your name. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart ready to receive and take joy in your great name. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. This verse, Psalm 145, verse 21, this is a command. It is a command that every creature, every living thing, says all flesh in all the world would do something. And what is that something? To bless the holy name of God. It's a command that a song would rise, as we sung, a song would rise from the created order and echo through the corridors of eternity. And the song would say, "Holy is the name of God." Every living thing is commanded to bless God's holy name forever. And I just want us to think about that phrase. I don't want us to gloss over bless the holy name of God, because we've heard it 1,000 times. I want us to think about that. What is it to bless the holy name of God forever? So let's unpack that and think about what that means. And the intent through this is that our hearts would be inflamed all the more, that as we reflect on the holy name of God, it would stoke the fire in our hearts together. That's the intent. So let's begin. What's the object of our blessing? Say, bless what? Bless God's name. So we're going to begin there. God's name is a thing to be blessed. So my question is, as it was this morning at the table, what is a name? I asked this in our high school class yesterday. What is a name? And I asked that at the breakfast table this morning, and I don't know what it was, but I think there was nervousness to answer that question. Like, is this a trap? Or that seems like a really simple question, simple answer. I feel like you're maybe asking for more. I said, just think about it. What is a name? Well, let's start with what's most familiar. What is my name? Okay, my name is Aaron O'Hara. Okay. But there's more than that. I mean, that's just vowels and consonants and syllables. Those are just sounds. Aaron O'Hara. Rather, we're asking, well, what does Aaron O'Hara mean? What does that sound mean? Because a name is more than sounds. And if we sit long enough with that question, what is a name, we start to discover that a name is packed with meaning. Packed with meaning. It's packed with story. It's packed with associations. It's packed with feelings. It's packed with unique thoughts. So here's an example. I'm going to give you a name, and we'll kind of think about all the associations with it. When I say Nike, what do you think of? I asked that to the high school class, and about six of them right in a row said, shoes, shoes, shoes. We think of shoes. What else do we think of? Phil Knight. We think of what? Oregon Ducks. We think of who? Michael Jordan. Someone said that in my class yesterday. We think of what? What else? We think of people. We think quality. We think swoosh. We have a logo. We think of a story, right? We think of victory. We think of a business, successful business. We think success. We think of a slogan, just do it. All of that, and that was just within the span of 30 seconds. All of that just from saying Nike, a name. What is a name? In fact, this morning, Jordan Scarborough had a Yeti mug. I saw Yeti, and I said, oh, those are expensive. And he goes, yeah, but they keep them warm. There's reputation. It's Yeti signifies expense. It signifies quality. It keeps your drink warm all day just because of Yeti. So returning to the psalmist, when he commands the congregation to bless his holy name, the congregation isn't just saying syllables, bless Yahweh, bless Yahweh. The congregation is commanded to think of all that God is in his entirety, his identity, his character, his story, his attributes, his personhood, and bless all of that. That's what's happening. And so, what is all of that? Another way to ask this is, what does God's name communicate? What does it say? It says he's holy. His name says he's distinct and set apart. He's entirely different from any other God. God is one. It says God is eternal. It says God is the creator. It says God is morally perfect. It says God is all powerful. It says God is all knowing. It says God is perfectly righteous and just. It says that he's merciful. He's long suffering. God is utterly and distinctly set apart from all other gods, all other people, all other creation. And all of that is bound up in the name of God. And therefore, God really, really, really cares about his name. God really cares about his own name. God cares that his name remain utterly set apart, distinct, and holy. And I would say, in fact, that if we're to make a list of all the things that God cares about, his name is number one. His name being upheld as holy would be absolutely number one. Everything in the created world is a means to God's end of displaying his own holy name. Now that's quite a proposition. Where do we see this? I immediately think of Jesus when he teaches his disciples to pray. What's his first petition? Our Father, who art in heaven, what? Let your name be holy. first prayer. Your name, let it remain holy. We see this elsewhere. Paul talks in Romans 9:17 that the hardening of Pharaoh's heart was for God's name to be shown through all the earth. For this very purpose, I have raised you up that I might show my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. We see this also in 2 Samuel 7:23. God redeemed Israel for God's name. And who is like you? Who is like your people Israel? The one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things. God disciplined Israel in Ezekiel 20:14. But I acted for the sake of my name that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations. And in Psalm 25, even the forgiveness of our sins is for his name. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. God's passion for God's name explains why the third commandment is third, right behind no other gods and no idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I think this is a commandment more than saying, hey, don't say, oh my God. It's much more than that. If God says to you, here, take my name. Here it is. Here's my name. Take it, receive it, put it on your back, put it on your chest, wear it on your forehead. Take my name, wear it, you belong to me. That's my name now. Well, there comes with that a certain amount of responsibility. Because you don't bear your name anymore. You've received his name. And in wearing and bearing that name of a holy God, which you have now taken, you become a reflection of that household. And to act in a way that's uncharacteristic of that household or that name is to misrepresent that name. The name whom you wear. It's to take a name with purposelessness and disregard. It's through your conduct saying something false about the person whose name you bear. It's profaning the name through conduct and speech when you take it in vain, when you receive it in vain, because it directly reflects on that person. It reflects on their character and their identity. And God is a jealous God. He's jealous for the purity of his name. He says in Exodus 34:14, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. I'll summarize with this. The highest aim in all that God does is the display of God's holy name. And if we have a problem with that, then it could mean that our worldview is actually centered around man and not God. Because we see from this that God is centered around God. God's highest aim is the display of God's holy name. Now, returning to Psalm 145:11, because that's only half of it, we see that the command not only centers around God's holy name, but we're actually commanded to do something with that holy name. What are we commanded to do? Bless, make happy. There's affection tied up in that action. And I would add the word praise. We're to praise the holy name of God. We see in Isaiah 48, 9 through 11, God says this. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. And if we look at verse 9, we see a parallelism here. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. That's one side of the coin. And the other side is, for the sake of my praise, I restrain it. Two sides to the same coin. Meaning that God's name being known goes hand in hand with praising God's name. And it's something that he commands. He commands praise of his great name. He commands happiness and joy in his great name. Now, at this point, I thought, well, let's maybe address a semi-elephant in the room, a baby elephant, regarding God commanding praise of his own name. Because I think some might have a problem with that. The part where we see God is so adamant that you praise my name. And the problem is that we hear that and something in us says, well, that sounds a little arrogant. That sounds a little selfish. It actually sounds a little bit insecure of God. Why is he demanding so much praise from us lowly creatures? Does he have an issue with his self-esteem that he needs all this praise all the time? Well, if you're thinking that, you're not the only one to recognize that. I've heard this many times in my own life. In fact, a month ago, I put up a post on my social media about why I love to make music. And it was a little video that said, someone asked me why I love to make music, and I told them to feel the smile of God. It's very short like that. And almost immediately, in my messages, one of my followers had written this to me. He said, if the God of the Bible really exists, then he is a huge sadist and a megalomaniacal celestial dictator. If he exists, that is, but he doesn't, he'd probably send you to hell for making music in the first place, instead of spending every waking hour not kissing his A word. And where do you think the individual got this idea that God requires praise, commands us to spend every waking hour kissing his A word? Where did he get this idea? Probably from the passages I've already read. Of God demanding praise of his name. There's this disconnect in our minds of someone demanding praise because we often view those types of people as insecure. But we know God isn't insecure. He's not deficient in any manner. So why would he command, if he's not doing it from insecurity, why does he command that his name be praised by us lowly creatures? Here's the reason. Because the command to praise that which is truly, truly praiseworthy, infinitely praiseworthy, is actually the highest form of love. Be- Because the command to praise that which is truly and infinitely praiseworthy is the highest form of love. It's a command to take joy in the thing that is truly and infinitely joyful and feel it so much here that our mouth cannot stop but singing about it. Praise is this action that we do that brings the height of human affection into the greatest reality of joy. And I was reminded at this point that C.S. Lewis wrestled with this same thing in the Psalms. He wrote a book, a reflection on the Psalms, and he says this: "But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. We all praise, every one of us. We cannot escape that we are creatures of praise. If you just turn on Facebook, you will see scrolling praise. Grandparents praising their grandchildren. Artists praising another artist's song. A 20-something praising the hike that he just went on. A middle-aged man praising a college football team. Praise is everywhere. Artists, people, bakers, athletes, we praise colors, smells, sounds, tastes. The earth is teeming with praise because there is so much that we as creatures find pleasure in, however small the delights might be. And so returning back to God, when God commands, bless the holy name of God, he's not commanding that we say with our mouth a blessing attached to Yahweh. But he is commanding us that we complete our joy in blessing the matchless name of Jesus Christ. That is the command. Consummate your joy by blessing the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." What a vision for the future we have. not just people, but everything in creation, blessing the Lamb who is slain. So we see in Psalm 145, verse 21, that it is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation 5:11. It is the name that every creature in heaven and earth is praising. Is it the covenant name of God given to Abraham and Yahweh? No. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. It's the name of the crucified Son of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That is where we see the totality of who God is. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's the name of Jesus that we know God's justice in the cross in punishing sin. And we know his mercy that he did it for us. It's in Jesus and in the cross that we know his love, his steadfast love that endures with us as he sanctifies us slowly and sometimes a lot slower than we would like it. It's in the name of Jesus that we see God's wisdom in fashioning this redemptive story. And we see his purity and his holiness, his distinctness. It's in Jesus and in that name that we see God's compassion for us, that he's patient with you when you fail, that he gives grace to you to grow in your failure, that he gives joy as you grow. It's in the name of the crucified Son of God, Jesus Christ, that the world will be rescued from their peril. For there is no other name, none, no other name by which men can be saved. That is our highest joy. The praise of God's glorious and wonderful and holy name, Jesus Christ. And when God commands us to bless that holy name of Jesus forever, he is actually commanding you to enjoy him. In the highest degree. So let's turn to the conference title, where we begin. Inflame our hearts to make Christ known globally. And honestly, I think we look at a title like this, and it's easy to go to the second part of it and skip over the first. To look at the title and feel this certain weight in this phrase, make Christ known globally, because that seems heavy. It seems like a hard task. It's costly. It seems impossible. It seems like a duty. It seems like it's going to take money. It seems like it may cost lives. It seems like it's this task that's too far in our periphery to even be a priority in my life at all. Because you know what? I'm just trying to make a living during an inflationary period. Or I'm a mom and I'm just trying to get that 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. rush till I get the kids to bed. I don't have a lot of time to think about the perils of the world and to make Christ known globally. I'm just trying to make him known in the day at home. And I think we can feel that way. And all of that is true. But it's only true if we take the second part and not embrace the first part. To take the second part to make Christ known globally and forget the part, God, inflame our hearts. the small flame that flickers, if only left to the second part, would be snuffed out under the weight of joyless duty. Inflame our hearts, O God. God, let us bless your name forever and ever. God, let us, your people, delight in your name forever and ever. So much so that we cannot go a single minute without praising your great name, the name of Jesus Christ, and all that you are as God in him. Let us bless that name forever and ever. The work of global missions begins there. It has to start there. The goal of this conference is that God would once again remind us of the joy of praising and blessing the holy name of Jesus Christ. And that it would be a flame that's so infectious within us and among us that we cannot contain it here. But that we look out into the world and at all the peoples that do not share in that fire, and we say, let's bring the name there to the Bhutanese. Those who don't know the joy of the Lord yet, the joy that we feel, let us bring the name there, that they may see the name, behold the name, be caught up in the name, and that there would be a fire in Bhutan. Or to the Hausa, Chadic of Nigeria. Our friends are at Nepal right now, among the Tibet-Burman people. That they would all be a people and nations who bless the same name that we bless with the same joy that we feel and sing the same song, Holy is the Lamb who is slain. That's how mission movements have always begun. And we shouldn't expect anything different. It's the joy in the holy name of Jesus Christ that compelled Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Roger Udarian, Ed McCauley, Pete Fleming. We went through that story this week at home. To move their families to the South American jungle to reach the Wadani people. The Wadani were on the verge of extinction because they were murdering each other at a higher rate than they were having children. They were spearing one another to death. And these five families bore the name of Jesus Christ, inflamed with the joy of Christ, so that when they looked on the Wadani people, they said, we have to bring it there too. And just when it looked like the devil had snuffed out that fire, when those five landed on a sandy beach and the flames they bore were there, and they were speared to death, that Elizabeth Elliot brought the torch of Christ and bore the name of Jesus Christ to the very people who killed her brother and the four other men. And Christ saved the Wadani people. And now the Wadani share in the joy of Christ, and they bless the same name that we bless this morning. It's the joy in the holy name of Christ that compelled Mary Slessor. She was a young Scottish woman in the 1800s. She dedicated her life to the Kalabari people, that's present-day Nigeria. And it was that joy in blessing the name of Jesus Christ that drove her inland to these remote tribes to share the name of Jesus Christ among those who practice witchcraft, who murdered their own children, who murdered women. And it was these same people that turned toward Christ through her work to bless the same name that we bless this morning. It was joy in the holy name of Christ that compelled William Carey, a young British man to leave his old life behind, sail to India, to live among the Indian people so that they would know the power of God in the person of Jesus Christ, abandon their evil practices that were filled with fear and death, and surrender to the joy in blessing the name, the same name that we bless this morning. You see, when we talk about making Christ known globally, we must never think of it only as a mission or a task to be accomplished. We must first begin with a prayer and a flame. We begin with a passion for the name of Jesus Christ. A passion to burn strong in our own hearts. And once our hearts burn, then we take that flame and we bring it to the world with a certainty that every creature one day will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Father God, we worship you now. We bless your name. We are unashamed of the name that you have given us to bear. And we ask you wholeheartedly and in a posture of surrender that you would burn in our hearts a passion for the name of Jesus Christ. We understand the task that Christ has given us, the church, to do, to go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it seems like an impossible task, Father. The impossible is that our hearts would burn, and we ask that you burn and inflame our hearts to make Christ known. That you begin here with us, keeping our sights on the world that we live in, that there are peoples who have not yet blessed your holy name. Work in this conference now, speak your words, and continue, we ask desperately, to inflame the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.